Appreciate that good singing this morning. Take you, yes. Go ahead, brother. God bless you, Carl. Amen, brother.
My children just came down from Michigan, and I got to spend, and my younger brother, and I got to spend time with them. And for the first time, probably about 15 years, my youngest son told me that he loved me.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother.
Accepting me or me accepting him.
Yeah.
You know, I've been reading a lot in 1 Corinthians and chapter 3, verse 10, he's the master builder. And
yeah.
What we choose to build thereon is up to us. And I can't tell you every day that this, you give the truth.
Amen.
Every time I'm not allowed to be in this house of God.
Amen, brother. Amen. Praise the Lord, brother. Glory to God, brother Carl. Miss Edwina, why don't you stand? Y'all turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. You'll go right to the middle of your Bible, you'll find the book of Psalms, and just keep going to the right till you find Ecclesiastes. I think, Brother David, last Tuesday, Brother David and Sister Edwina celebrated 26 years of marriage. Is that right? 26? Glory to God. What a blessing. Anybody put up with David Connell for 26 years deserves a medal. Amen. I've been knowing him for, I don't know, probably 18, 19, and I'm fed up. Amen? Amen. We love you, Brother David. Happy anniversary, brother. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Am I too loud? No? Okay. Well, good. I'm going to get louder. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. You might bump me down just a fuzz, Brother James. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Let's look at verse number 1. We'll read several verses together. The Bible says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. Time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. This morning I want to talk to you for a few minutes about time. I was in the shower this morning. I was thinking about this past year. This is the last Sunday morning service that we will worship together in 2013. And I thought about this year and how it has just flown, Brother Freddie. It seemed like yesterday we were planning on last year's watch night service. I can see the young men of God that stood in the pulpit is just like it was last night. It just seemed like the older you get, the faster time flies, doesn't it? I remember when I was young, time meant absolutely nothing. To a 10, 11, 12-year-old boy, time means you think you have all the time in the world. I remember it seemed like birthdays took forever. I remember it seemed like Christmas took forever. You remember when you were 12 and a half? Come on, somebody, talk to me. You remember when you were 15 and a half? On your 15th birthday, you automatically started counting the days to your 16th birthday. In the state of Georgia, that means you get a driver's license. I don't know what idiot passed that law. I know some 20-year-olds ought not to be driving. I've met them on the highway. I know some women that should never get a license. Amen. But we would count the days and somebody would say, how old are you? And I'd say, well, I'm 12 and a half, I'm 13 and a half. And you are always thinking about that next one coming up. Right now, I'm 49 and there ain't gonna be no quarter, ain't gonna be no half, I ain't saying nothing till I'm 50. And it'll be here before I know it. And the Bible has a lot to say about time. Has a lot to say. It talks about lost time. It talks about a time we read this morning in the scripture for everything. It talks about a time of war, a time to fight, a time of peace, time to laugh, a time to cry, a time to live, a time to die. There is an appointed time for everything in your life. Esther said that she came on the scene for such a time as this. The Bible talks about redeeming the time. Hey, because the days are evil. We find the word time in the Bible over and over and over again. But yet, as humans, we think so little about it. But I thought about one thing. We often make statements concerning time. I just don't have the time. Where is the time gone? How has time flown? I'm just killing time. And we use these words and these phrases rather loosely. But I thought about this. It doesn't matter. There's one thing you and I have in common this morning. I don't care your educational background or your financial situation, whether you have thousands or maybe even millions in the bank. I doubt there's anybody here like that this morning. They go to the Uptown Church. Whether you have millions in the bank or you have a negative in front of your account, we have one thing in common. Your second is the same as mine. Your second is no bigger than my second. My second is just like your second. Your minute is composed of 60 seconds and it's no different. Listen, your time, somebody said my time is very valuable. No more valuable than my time. Because 60 seconds, which equals 1 minute, is the same to you as it is to me. Your hour is the same as my hour. Your day, the same as my day. Your week, your month, and your year, the same as mine. We all have 24 hours in a day. Did you know there's not enough gold in Fort Knox to buy you another second? Do you understand that? You cannot buy time. Somebody listen to me. You cannot buy time. Time is not for sale. You cannot stop time. Every other commercial on the television. I was watching old Debbie Boone on TV the other day. And I was looking at her. Brother Ferry, you remember Debbie Boone? She sung that song. They played it in our wedding. You Light Up My Life. That's old Pat Boone's daughter. And I got to looking at Debbie Boone on the screen. And she's the spokesperson for the lifestyle lived. And she looks like maybe she's in her 20s or 30s, and I'm 49, and she's a lot older than me. She got to be mid-50s, early 60s. You know what she's doing? She's trying to turn back time. But you can't turn back time. Time has the same effect on everybody. Amen. You get older. That big barrel chest some of you men used to have, now's around your belt buckle. That hair you used to spend so much time grooming, now you pick out of the shower drain. Somebody help me right there. You know what that is? That is the effect of time. And every one of us have the same amount when it comes to minutes, hours, seconds, days, months, and years. I thought about something this morning. No matter what I do, whether I'm doing well, or whether I'm not doing well, whether I'm in a time of victory or in a time of sorrow, a time of battle or a time of peace, this thing just keeps on ticking. Yeah. You remember the old Timex commercial? It takes a licking and keeps on ticking. No matter what we do, whether we're being productive with our time or whether we're losing time or whether we're wasting time, that second hand just keeps on bumping. Bump, bump, bump. I don't know how many times while I preach this morning that thing will go around, but it's going to keep on going around. And it's going to keep on going around. It goes around. Have you ever noticed? I remember last year, year before last, when my Aunt Gail, we were very close, my mama's baby sister. I remember when she died, and I've thought this several times on my way to a funeral home. And for the family and those who know the person in that funeral home, it seems like time stops, doesn't it? It seems like everything, but you're driving down the road or either you're in the funeral procession, and you'll have to notice that while you're in a time of mourning and a time of grief, the cars just keep right on whizzing by. The red lights keep turning red, yellow, and green. Nothing changes. It just keeps marching on. Time does not stop for any man. Now, we're all allotted a portion of time in this life, and it is our choice, and it's up to us what we do with the time God has given us. Amen. This morning, we started our service very promptly at 11:05. Brother Stacy had invited somebody to church this morning, and she got stuck up in and we grew up with her, a good friend of ours. I was looking forward to seeing her, and she got caught up in a traffic accident and was 5 minutes late, so she turned around and left. Stacy said she was afraid to come in late. She was 5 minutes late. I said, you should have told her. She was right on time. Yeah. Amen. We've all been given a portion of time, and we're responsible for what we do with that time. Would you agree? We are absolutely responsible for what time God has allotted us. I believe there is a time to live, as the Scripture said. I believe there is a time to die, as the Scripture said. I believe there's a time to laugh. I believe there's a time to weep. There's a time for everything. Have you ever made this statement, I don't have time for this? I've got too much on my plate. I don't have time for this. Some of us need to stop and start considering our time. Some of us handle our time very foolishly. King Saul, as he died, made this statement, I have played the fool. I have played the fool. I believe what he did was look back on his life, Brother Charles, and say, man, what a waste. I have took the time that God has given me and just squandered it, and now I'm at my death, and my life means nothing. The Bible said a man's days are 70. If you know your Bible much, that's 70. We got a lot of people in our church that are living on borrowed time. Amen. I want to look at time just for a minute this morning. And I want to look, I told Levi, I said, pray for me. I was going to preach in another direction, and the Lord gave me this in the shower this morning. So it won't be real deep. Seriously. But I want you to give it some thought. I begin to examine 2013 and looking forward into 2014. And I'm not talking about making resolutions. You know what resolutions are? I looked that up in the dictionary. You know what it means? A lie. Amen. People make New Year's resolutions. I don't know anybody that's ever kept one. You won't make a change in your life because it's a certain time of year. You'll make a change in your life because God made a change in your heart. And it doesn't have to be January 1. It doesn't have to be December 31. It can be any day, any month, any time of the year that God nudges your heart. You don't have to wait on New Year's to make a change in your life. But I got to thinking about some people in our church that 2013 has made a difference. 2013 has made a difference in their life. Some for the good, some for the bad. But I thought about those who have made good time. Who have made good time. I am a travel Nazi. You don't want to go somewhere with me. I don't stop. I'm OCD about making good time. I travel a lot in preaching around the country, and as I get older, I've learned to stop and smell the roses a little bit. But my wife will tell you, I mean, boy, we was coming back from Hammond, Indiana, me and my wife and Brother Gill and Miss Melody Speck, and we was in my wife's little minivan. That's about a 14-hour drive. And I was driving, and Brother Gill spoke up from the back seat. He said, "Brother Eddie, can we stop and get something to eat?" I said, "When that hand gets on E, we'll stop." And sure enough, that hand got on E. Brother Gill looked up there and said, "Hallelujah, we're out of gas." They was starving to death. I pulled into a truck stop, pulled up to the gas tank. I said, "If y'all want something to eat, you better run in and get you some Coke and some crackers." I'm serious. I want to get where I'm going. Some people travel. And they want to get off at every exit. Every exit. Oh, stop here, stop here. See this, see that. Hey, I got a destination to make. I ain't got time to stop here and see this and see that. I want to make good time. Well, let me tell you something. In my Christian life, I want to make good time. But there's a lot of exits on the way where the devil's beckoning you. Get off here a while. Get off here a while. Rest here a while. Drink here a while. Party here a while. Play with this a while. Play with that a while. Hey, we need to realize we've got an eternal destination, and we ought to set our face toward that thing and make good time in this Christian life. Paul said in Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 13, he said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." I said in 2013, I've witnessed some people in this room who have made good time this year. In other words, they have gone forward. They have gone forward. I thought about mentioning names, but I'm not going to do that this morning. There's too many. Brother Carl's already testified. Standing there in a suit this morning, I told him with that necklace hanging down, he looked like the Pope this morning. But anyway... I love Brother Carl, but I thought about Brother Carl when he came here. Homeless, didn't have a place to live. His own family wouldn't even let him in the house. But he came in and God did a work in his heart. And he began to move forward in his life. And he put that old life behind him. And he said, "I've got a new life before me. And I'm going to pursue that new life." I thought about Maureen. I am naming names. I thought about Maureen sitting back there. Where's she at? She was. Where's she at? Still don't see her. There she is right there. She's in here somewhere. I thought about Maureen, and I wouldn't embarrass her for nothing, but you wouldn't believe where she was before she came here. Yeah. I won't say exactly where she was, but she couldn't get out. Heard one of our preachers. She said, "Now get out of here. I'm coming to that church." And I thought about how she put a past behind her, and she began to move forward in her life. I thought about those who have come this year, just this past year, and sat on these pews. Sometimes we focus on the ones who didn't stick and the ones who didn't make it. But thank God for you who have made up your mind. I'm not looking back yonder. I'm not looking to the dope. I'm not looking to the beer. And I ain't looking to the liquor. I'm looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm making a difference and a change in my life. And you have moved forward. Some of you have learned more Bible this year than you've known in your whole life. Some of you have learned how to pray who never knew how to pray before. Some of you have learned how to worship God and you never knew how to worship God before. You have moved forward in your life. And I wonder if you'd examine your year this year. Examine your time. What have you done with it? Have you gone forward in any way? Have you made any progress as a mom, as a dad, as a husband, as a wife? As a citizen, have you made progress as a Christian? Are you deeper in this book than you were this time last year? Do more people know about Christ and what He did at Calvary because you were here in 2013? Have you progressed in any way? Do you ever stop and evaluate your life? Where am I? Where was I? Where am I now? Where am I going? How did I get here? I'll tell you how I got here. It was by the grace of God. Just here in a couple of nights, Tuesday night will be my birthday. I turned 59. Good Lord. I turned 49 back in November on the 13th day of November. But Tuesday night, I will turn 28 or 29. I gotta examine that date. I'll turn 29. 29 or 28 years. Tuesday night, my wife and I trusted Christ as our Savior. And my life began brand new on that New Year's Eve. Since that time, 28 years, that's a long time. 28 years, that's a long time. And I got to be honest with you, I look back at that 28 years and there's some victories and there are some wonderful things. But Brother Freddie and Brother Charles, we'll have to be honest, there's some disappointments. I'm not talking about disappointments in people. I'm not talking about disappointments in government. I'm talking about disappointments in Eddie White. I think about where I am, but yet I wonder where I could be. Where I could be. How much further down this road in this Christian life I could be. How much more Bible I could know. How many more souls I could have won to Christ. How much better I could have lived my life for God. I don't know about you, but I'm going to forget about 2013. I don't mean forget the good memories and the good things, but I'm going to put that behind me, and I'm going to make up my mind that I'm going forward and I'm going on for the cause of Christ. I'm going on as a husband. I'm going on as a father, and I'm going on as a grandfather. I don't want my life to be stale and mundane, but I want it to count for something in this life. Some have moved forward in their Christian life. And I find such joy in that. I love it when they stand and testify. I love it when these folks come in. We were singing, "I Know My Name Is There." When we get to that verse, we just lift our hands, Brother Freddie, to give a testimony that we know that our names are there. My dear neighbors are here this morning, Brother Stoney. They're sitting back there this morning. We were singing, "I Know My Name Is There." And I was watching old Stoney. He didn't just raise his hand. That thing was going back and forth like that. You know what he was saying? He was saying, I know my name is there. Hey, you wouldn't know it, but not many days ago, he wasn't lifting his hands saying, "I know my name is there." He is lifting his hand saying, "I know I'm high as a kite and I'm hooked on drugs. Oh, but thanks be unto God this morning. He could sit in the house of God and say, "I know that my name's written in the Lamb's book of life." Thank God for those who have moved forward in their life. Amen. Let me tell you something. If a dope head can go on, that don't offend you, does it, brother? I wouldn't. If a dope head can go on, if a jailbird can go on, if a homeless drunk can pick up and go on, you can go on. If a jobless man who has no money can pick up and go on, if a man out of a coma can go on, if a lady just out of cancer can go on, you can go on. If a family just burying a loved one can go on, you can go on. The old song says, "Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war." I believe the entire purpose we'll find for our lives in this New Testament is that we go on. Paul said, "I press toward the mark of the high calling." I press toward. We sang the song this morning. Press on. It won't be long. I want to encourage you this morning. There's going to be disappointments ahead. There's going to be dark days ahead. But just keep going forward. Amen. Thank God there are some who have made time. There are some who have made time. But then to my disappointment, there are some this morning who have wasted time. There was an old song, I don't even remember who sung it. When I was a kid, I used to hear that song, "Wasted Days and Wasted Nights." Wasted days and wasted nights. We ought to reflect on the days and the hours and the minutes that we've wasted as a child of God. That we've let things go by and we've let things go by and we've let things go by. I heard somebody the other day said they were trying, went, my wife and I were watching, oh Lord, she's watched the Hallmark Channel. I told her yesterday, Christmas is over. Hallmark. You gotta have two boxes of Kleenex to watch one of them movies. I want to watch John Wayne, amen. Clint Eastwood. It'd be cool if one of them crying moments, they'd just start shooting one another. I'm kidding. But there was a dad who had been out of the picture of his children's life. And here's what he said. Give me a chance to make up for lost time. There's a sad thing about time. You don't get it back. You don't get it back. My dad and I were estranged for a long time. But boy, when we got right with each other and we got right with God, we talked every single day. Every single day. We saw each other every time we could. And I think both of us in some way were trying to make up for lost time. But you know what? I couldn't get a childhood back. He couldn't get his youth back. There's no way we could go back and grow up with Daddy again. It don't work like that. We don't get to make up for lost time. Now, I'm not saying it's bad to try. We ought to give that effort. But the truth is, you don't get back the time that's passed. It's gone. I thought about how much time. I've been preaching about 10 minutes maybe. I mean, that time is gone. We do not get that back. You do not get to press rewind. We get no rewind. We get no, what do you call that in golf? A mulligan, a do-over. That's what I call it. Every time I hit a golf ball, that's what I holler. Do-over, do-over. That's why I quit playing the stupid game. Solitary baseball, hit it and go get it, amen. God does give us second chances, and I'm thankful for that. God, let me say it again. I remember in the Bible when Jonah was swallowed by the whale. The Bible makes a statement there. Brother Freddie preached on it one time. I'll never forget that message. The word of the Lord came again to Jonah the second time. Thank God for second chances. Some of us have had second chances and third chances and fourth and fifth, and it goes on and on and on and on and on and on. But with every chance we pass up, every opportunity we pass up to get right with God and to get right with each other and to live right in our lives, every opportunity we pass up, we're losing time that we will never regain. Brother Anthony Waters was in here a while ago. There he is. Brother Anthony Waters, he used to stand up and testify all the time about all the wasted years. All the wasted years he spent in a can of Budweiser. All the wasted years he spent on the cool end of a joint. And he said, I've heard him say a thousand times, well, if I could get those days back. But honest fact is, those days are just wasted time. And we'll never get them back. But I'll tell you what we do have. I don't have a minute ago, but I've got the next one. And I've got the next one. And by the grace of God, I've got tomorrow. By the grace of God, I'll have Tuesday and Wednesday. By the grace of God, 2013 is almost gone. But by His grace and by His mercy, I've got another year to do better than I did last year and not waste as much time as I wasted last year. There are those who have marched forward and made good time. There are those who have wasted time and just seemingly stood still. Stood still. I believe, honest in my heart, you're never really standing still. You're going ahead or you're going back. But there are some, you are no further down the road than you were this time last year. You've learned nothing. That's sad, isn't it? God's given you opportunity after opportunity, circumstance, every little trouble, every little trial that comes our way. We ought to learn something. We ought to learn something about God. We ought to learn something about who He is, how He works and operates in our life. But some of us have learned nothing. I look at some people sometimes and I watch them go through the same mess over and over and over again. I think, will they ever learn? This is what got you there last time, and you're doing it again. Will we ever learn? How many of you have ever made the same mistake more than once? How many of you ever looked yourself in the mirror and said, stupid? Amen. I've looked at myself in the mirror and thought, you are an idiot. You did this last time. You know what you get when you do this. You know what happens when you allow this to come in your life. And here you are again going through the same mess you did time and time and time again. Learn nothing. Absolutely nothing. Some have come in and made progress. God has done a work. Some of them have got saved this year. And brother, they're marching forward. Thank God for that. But some have gotten saved and they're just absolutely at a spiritual standstill. It's a shame when people who have been saved a year are farther along spiritually than those who have been saved for many years. Some of you have been saved, you know Christ, you've known Him for a long time, but you've lost your zeal. You've lost your desire. You don't have a desire to do nothing. Man, I thought about this morning when I was in the shower when I was young. I was always doing something. I live, the Bible says, to every time there is a season. You know what? Most people's seasons are spring, summer, winter, and fall. Not mine. My seasons were trout season. Or let's start off in January. Duck season. Trout season. Turkey season, deer season. Are y'all with me? That was my seasons. And I lived for those seasons. I was always going, always doing something. As I get older, you know what you find yourself doing? Not caring so much about all that. Not caring so much about all that. I was just all alone the other day, and I forgot what Angie was doing, getting ready for Christmas. Y'all pray for her. She's at home sick this morning, and so was my youngest daughter, Katie. But anyway, I was sitting at home. I was all by myself, and I thought, man, I don't have the motivation I used to have. I still love to hunt. I still love to fish. I just don't want to do all the junk you got to do to get ready to go. I'd rather watch the program on TV. I'd rather watch old Bill dance. Boy, that's a good fish right there. With my glass of tea and my bag of Lay's tater chips. Amen. Some of our drive got up and went. Our get up and go. Amen. We just find ourselves at a standstill. So I'm going to ask yourself this morning, am I where I ought to be? Am I where I ought to be spiritually? As a man, as a woman, as a mother, as a dad, as a husband, as a wife, am I where I ought to be spiritually? Am I with God where I ought to be? Am I farther down the road as I was last year, or am I still sitting in the same place, just kind of stagnant? Nothing exciting anymore. You were excited when you first got saved. Yeah. When you first come to know Christ, right after your baptism, oh man, you was fired up. Let me help in the bus ministry. Let me do this. Let me do that. By the way, anybody interested in getting busy? We have a local church that has just given up 2 bus routes. I count it a great honor that I got a call last night. They want us to pick them up. They said, will you? I said, uh-huh. They're on our way. They're right where we go already. Amen. Wouldn't you know it, one of those routes, I come in this morning and it was as low as it's ever been. It won't be this time next Sunday. Amen. What are you saying? Well, let's don't sit still. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. I like the old song said, morning, noon, or night. Could be in the morning, could be tonight, could be this afternoon. I don't know. But He's coming. And I think we ought to make up our mind. I'm tired of standing still. I'm tired of standing still. There's some who have made good time and they've moved forward. There's some who have wasted time and just stood still. But there's some who have killed time and have went backwards. God have mercy. Have you ever went backward? Israel did it all the time. God sent Moses down into Pharaoh's land, sent Moses down into Egypt, and Moses brought the plagues, or God sent the plagues at the word of Moses, and all that stuff happened. You know the story, and God led his children out of bondage. You know what bondage is? It's captivity. It's slavery. Do you know what you were in when you got saved? Captivity and slavery. I'm here to tell you, they ain't a person in this room smoke crack because they want to. They might have the first time. Well, it got quiet on me. Ain't nobody takes their 100th drink of liquor because they want to. Stuff takes over their life. You were in bondage to that junk. You had no power over sin. You had no strength when it come to the thing of sin. But God delivered you out of that mess. And just like the children of Israel, God puts our feet on the right path, gives us a good shove, and starts us in the right direction. And we head down that road. First little bump we hit, right back to the junk we go. Come on, preacher. Do you know the more times you turn around and go backwards, the harder it is to get that, thing turned around going in the right way again? Are you listening to me? I think you'll only go back so many times. One of these times you're going to go back, and that's where you're going to stay. The Bible talked about the children of Israel as a dog returning to its own vomit. Man, that's gross, ain't it? It's no grosser than us. The junk God's delivered us out of, and we turn around and go right back to it. Somebody told me recently, I said, I saw him smoking, and I said, I thought you quit smoking. They said, I did. I quit for over a year. I'd say that's a victory, wouldn't you? Yeah. How many of you ever quit smoking? Man, that's hard to do. Amen. Now, I'm not beating you overhead for smoking, but I'm just saying, you quit smoking, brother. That's a victory. You get yourself off a bottle, that's a victory. You get yourself off a prescription medication, that's a victory. You get yourself off of methamphetamine. Man, this chemicals they're making to put in your body, they're made with a purpose. Amen. That once they're in you, they get a hold of you, man. I won't go all into it, but I believe it's absolutely demonic. Amen. I believe that stuff's got a spirit about it. Yes, sir. Amen. You know what the Indians called liquor? Spirits. There's a spirit about it. And God delivers us out of that old evil, negative, hard spirit. And man, we feel so good. This person I was talking to said, I couldn't believe first time I got around somebody smoke. It almost gagged me. I said, why'd you start back? I don't know. God delivered me out of this sin, and God delivered me out of this sin. God gave me victory over this, and God gave me victory over that. And man, I find myself right back where I was. Amen. I believe everybody can testify to that in some way in your life. Man, backwards is not the way to go. We'll never go forward going backwards. We'll never gain ground going backwards. If you have to be still for a little while, be still. There are people in this church that are hurting. There are people who've been through some major trials in their life. And there's a time to stay still and to heal and to get back where you need to be. But don't go backward. There's nothing back there but heartache. There's nothing back there but misery. Sin will turn your life inside out and make a wreck and make havoc of your life. Don't ever go back to what God has brought you out of. I understand a stillness for a while. I understand. Hey, when you get sick, you need to recover. You know, I had the flu here a few weeks ago. Had it twice. The second time is always worse than the first. Always. I've always heard that all my life, that for the first time, I had a real relapse. I didn't know what that was. I got the first round of antibiotics. I took them for a couple of days, and buddy, I started feeling better. You know what my problem was? I thought I was well. Yeah. And I didn't take all my prescription. Yeah. Nobody told me take them all. just took it till it felt better. I thought, got this whooped. But it wasn't a few days after when I relapsed. I'd have given anything to have that cold I had before. That second round of antibiotics I got, them things was big as that microphone right there. My horse looked at them and went, mm-mm. It'd take a gallon of water to swallow one of them. Son, I took every one of them pills. I didn't miss one. First thing I done, I got out of bed every morning. I eat that antibiotic. But still today, I've been over them for over a week. Every morning I get up and look in that bottle, make sure there ain't another. I started taking multivitamins, vitamin C. I don't ever want that junk again. You know why? It was worse the second time around. And I see that in people's lives. When they go back, they normally sink deeper than they ever were before. And I could name you names, and I wouldn't do that because I love the people I'm preaching about with all my heart. But they always go deeper. They always go deeper. That's what sin does to you. It don't never find you a leveling off place. It always brings you deeper than you've ever gone before. I've heard self-righteous Christians and stuck-up so-called Christians who I doubt I even go to heaven. Bless God, I'll never. You don't know what you're capable of.
That's right, preacher. Amen.
God got me out of this and God got me out of that, and I'll never go back there again. You better watch your mouth.
Amen, preacher.
Because many of you have stumbled and failed. Some of you have stumbled and fell this year and went backwards. There's hope. Get up again. Get up again and press on for the cause of Christ. Listen, if God didn't have a purpose for you, you wouldn't be here this morning. I promise you, nothing I'm saying is in my notes. I prayed and asked God this morning. I begged God. God, you're going to have to tell me what to say. I want to be your puppet. God, you just, whatever needs to be said. Somebody stumbled and went back. I don't even know who I'm talking to this morning. I know some, but they're not here. I text one last night. I was sitting in the mall. Man, don't, if you go to the mall, don't go in the stores. Just sit on one of them benches. They don't cost nothing. And it's a show. I run into, y'all remember Corey Gulledge, Brother Ronald Gulledge's son? I run into Corey's stepson last night. He's a grown man. And me and him just sitting on one of them benches waiting on our wives, and all of a sudden we heard a commotion, screaming, hollering. It was two women having a conniption fit. All of a sudden the security guards come out of a store. This guy slammed him on the floor. I mean, boy, it was on. Then them women jumped on the security guard. Here comes some more. I thought, man, they ain't got that in Old Navy. But I was sitting there praying for that mall to close. I was waiting any time. The stores are now closing. I wanted that voice from Amityville Horror. Get out. Amen. I was praying, God, let this place close. I'm ready to go home. And somebody just came on my mind. I don't even know why. A fella in our church. And I just texted him. I said, man, I sure do love and miss you. A few minutes later, I got a text back. Who is this?
Who is it?
I said, it's your preacher, and I love you. Sure would love to see you. No worse than me. No better than you. But life happened. Somehow just went back. As long as you got breath coming in and out of your body, there's hope. You don't have to stay there. There'll be one here Tuesday night who has been as low as a Christian who's ever been. Lord willing. And whether the Lord's willing or not, I am. If he don't preach right here in this pulpit Tuesday night, we'll whoop him, four or five of us. I'm here to tell you, man, we've got testimony after testimony in this room. You can come back from your mess. You can get up and dust yourself off, get forgiveness for God, and go forward again. Some have made time and moved forward. Some have wasted time and stood still. Some have killed time and went back, and they'll never get it back again. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 27. I'll just quote part of it to you and I'm done. The Bible says, "For as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment." For some, 2013, time was up. Time was up. Sometimes life is like a test, and we're either going to pass it or we're going to fail it. The greatest test I ever took in my life was when I took my Class 2 Master Plumber's License test. It took all day long to take that test. Months and months of preparation had to be done to take that test. That test was divided up into sections. We'd do a section, get a break, do a section, get a break, do a section, get a break. That teacher had a stopwatch laying on his desk, or the instructor. And he would say, "Okay," and he'd mash that button. He'd say, "Begin." And we'd begin the test. And I noticed as I looked around the room, those who were prepared, maybe an hour or so would go by and they'd lay their pencils down. They were done. They had finished that portion of that test. And I'd begin to watch that instructor as he watched that clock. And I would think, "Boy, time's almost up." He'd pick up that clock and he'd say, "Okay, class, click, time." It didn't matter where you were. It didn't matter if you'd finished. It didn't matter if you were halfway through. Time was up. That last portion of that test was a drawing, a set of blueprints. We had to draw the plumbing, everything, drain, water pipe, the whole nine yards, in a 10-story building. On one floor of that building was a restaurant. On another floor of that building was a laundromat, a lot of plumbing. And you may not understand that, but just trust me, it was a lot. We began that last section of that test. I had my ruler and all that stuff. Boy, and I began to draw, and I just got lost in it. Next thing I knew, my building was done. My plumbing was done. Whether it was right or wrong, I didn't know. I laid my ruler down and my pencil down, and I looked up at the teacher, and the teacher was reading a book. I thought, "Wow, I finished it. I finished my test." A few minutes later, that teacher picked up that stopwatch. And I looked around the room as he held that stopwatch in those closing seconds. And people were just, they were just flying as fast as they could go. And he said, "Time." And people just kept trying to get that last little, he said, "Time." Pencils down. One of these days, God's going to look at you and I, and he's going to say, "Time." I don't care whether you've went forward, whether you've wasted time, whether you've killed time, no matter what the situation may be, your time is up. I have in my pocket this morning, these are the little, I don't know what they call them, memorial cards or remembrance cards from the funeral home. I save these for some morbid reason. I keep them in a shoebox, Brother Charles. You taught me to do that. What I hold in my hand is just 2013. I've been to every one of those funerals. Had part in most of them. Knew almost every one of them. I counted them up this morning. You know what that is? It's two a month. You can look at them after service. I don't care. Every one of them says 2013. Starting in January of last year. And they go all the way up through last week. Two a month. Time stopped. No do-overs. No mulligans. We have a gospel track back there. It says, "This was your life." Was. That's past tense. This was your life. We have stood over caskets this year and rejoiced, Brother Freddie. Together we've rejoiced over the life that somebody lived, over the difference that they've made. But sadly to say, I've stood over caskets and did my best to comfort a family because I didn't know where Mama was and I didn't know where Daddy was. but it was over. It's appointed unto man once to die. One of these very recent ones laying right here this morning, you've already heard about today. And that was a sister, that was Sister Anissa's nephew, Danny. I'm talking about a fine young man. A fine young man. Even as a preacher, even as a pastor, I want to stand and look at that young face and say, "Why, God? I don't understand." But it's not mine to understand. I'm talking about an athlete with scholarships to play football. I'm talking about a very, very much of a young man, 24 years old. Went out to play golf with his cousin. Is that right? Got to the number one tee and said, "I left something in the truck. I'll be back." It's the last thing he ever said. Actually, the last thing he ever said, he looked back joking and said, "I'm fixing to kick your rear end in golf." Is that right, Brother Terry? Joking, having a good time. You cannot tell me that he was planning on never coming back. It wasn't in his day schedule. It wasn't on his day planner. It wasn't on his to-do list on his iPhone. Hey, he planned on going to the truck, getting whatever he left, and coming back and kicking his cousin's rear end in golf. That was his plan. Yeah. He didn't come back. His cousin got to wondering, "Where's Danny?" He could see the golf cart up on the hill, but he couldn't see Danny. He walked to the golf cart. And there lay the laughing, smiling, full of life young man who just said, "I'm fixing to kick your rear end in golf." Lifeless in that golf cart. That wasn't Danny's plan. That wasn't Big Danny, his father's plan. That wasn't his mother's plan. That wasn't his aunt's plan, but evidently it was God's plan. I don't get to pick it, and you don't get to pick it. But there is a time, and we'll breathe our last breath on this earth. And what happens next is really all that matters. For as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, we're all going to stand before God. The Bible said both small and great. Eternity is what matters. Paul reached the end of his life and said, "I fought a good fight." He was examining himself. He said, "I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my course." I can only think of a couple of people who's able to say that. Jesus did. At Calvary, Jesus said, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." You know what he is saying? No wasted time. No lost time. I did what I came to do. Man, why would it be to be able to say that? To reach the end of this life and look up from a hospital bed or hospice care and look in the eyes of my precious children and say, "Daddy done his job. I'm done now. I didn't leave this undone. I didn't leave that undone. I'm satisfied now. I can go to heaven." One of these days, that clock is going to stop. And it won't start again. I started to bring them all this morning, but I thought just a year would be enough for a wake-up call. I wonder whose name will be in this pile next year. Brother Fred, there'll be some. The Lord tarries, there'll be more. I was looking this morning as I pulled these out of that shoebox. And I thought, I got to get another shoebox. It's absolutely full. Hundreds. Hundreds. And over these last 20 years. The clock has stopped. It's not my desire to see anybody's time come to an end. I hate funerals. I don't mind it when it's an older Christian who's lived their lives and we'll rejoice together. That's one thing. But boy, I don't understand it when it's a young life. I hate it when it's a life that didn't know Christ. How time flies. Some have used their time wisely and made good time and they've marched on. Some have just simply wasted time. Some have killed time that you'll never get back. And for some, time has just ended. Stopped. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Todd, y'all come. Ashley, get us a song. Listen to me carefully. We're fixing to have the altar call. I went to Montgomery, Alabama the other night and picked up my little cousin out of the hospital. He's 38, 39 years old. On the way home, I told him, I said, son, whether you realize it or not, in that hospital, you died twice. Twice, you flatlined, had no heartbeat. You were gone. Your time was up. Your clock stopped. But for some unknown reason, God decided to let you live. I said, now my advice to you would be figure out what that why is and get after it. Let's bow our heads all over the house this morning. I've done my best to preach what I felt the Lord put on my heart this morning. I wonder how many Christians, if you died right now, heaven would be your home. There's no doubt in your mind where you'll spend eternity. But looking back over this past year, looking back over your life, you'd say, preacher, I've wasted some time. I've killed some time that I'll never get back. Pray for me that I'd be able to redeem the time. Pray for me that I'd be more mindful of the time that God has given me as a Christian. You just slip your hand up and put them right back down all over this house. I wonder if there's one here today. You say, preacher, I don't know when that clock is going to stop in my life. But I need to know in my heart, if you can really know where you'll spend eternity, heaven or hell, I'd like to get that settled today. Pray for me. I'm not sure if I died today, heaven would be my home. Just remember me when you pray. I don't want to die, but I realize one day I will. Pray I get this thing about my soul settled forever and ever. Just pray for me. Just slip up your hand. You can put it right back down. I wouldn't embarrass you. Wouldn't come to you for nothing. Just want you to know that heaven will be your home. Preacher, I'm not sure. Please remember me. Anybody? Let's pray together. Fathers, we come to you this morning in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for a good day. Lord, speaking of time, I appreciate the time we had together with your people this morning. Thank you for every minute that you've given us. We don't deserve one of them. God, we just bless you for it this morning. Have your way in this altar call. Lord, you saw the hands. You know every heart. Please have your way here today. Lord, make a difference in somebody's life. Help them, God, to go forward and not back. Lord, you just get honor and glory. We'll thank you. We'll praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.